You probably heard about it, the White House holding a virtual CEO summit yesterday where President Joe Biden met with executives from the auto tech, biotech, and consumer electronics industries. It's all about what's happening with the semiconductor chips. And, of course, Mary Barra was there. Jim Farley was there. There were all kinds of people there. The guy who knows all about it, it's as if he were sitting in on the meeting. Jason Stein, Automotive News publisher and Crane Communications vice president. What a pleasure to hear you not only on Fridays, but on this Tuesday morning, Jason.
Paul W., it's always good to be with you.
I just talked to some dealer friends yesterday who say business is fabulous until we run out of cars and trucks.
Yeah, and they are running out of cars and trucks. But I actually talked to a prominent Wisconsin dealer yesterday who probably has about 30 different rooftops. He sells typically about 500 Chevy Silverados a month. He has five on his lot right now. And that's all because of the smallest part that has become the biggest problem. And this is the microchip semiconductor issue. The unintended consequences of COVID. It's not just the PlayStations, the smart fridges, the iPads, the work from home. It's also the car that you're driving that needs more semiconductors and microcontroller units, MCUs they call them, than ever. Because those little parts power everything from the powertrain, chassis, body, advanced driving systems, ABS braking. And the problem, Paul W., is that there is a shortage, a massive shortage of semiconductors. And that's why you saw Mary Barra and Jim Farley, Carlos Tavares, meeting with the White House yesterday to try to get some support for the automotive supply chain. Because the concern now is that this is not just going to go on for the next 6 months, but it's actually going to go on until next year. And when you look at the reality of lost worldwide production that could be 2 to 3 million units this year alone, North America could lose about 700,000 units, and that dealer can't sell as many Silverados as he'd like. There are buyers out there. The macroeconomic conditions are favorable, but there aren't enough products.
I still am scratching my head. It's astonishing to me that a dealer, he's got a lot of roofs, as you said, meaning a lot of dealerships, but that he could sell 500 Chevy Silverados a month is mind-boggling. Be that as it may, this shortage, the chip, semiconductor chip shortage, already costing automakers billions of dollars, forcing massive temporary layoffs, and that causes all kinds of problems. It's a ripple effect. So what has the president said he can do to try to help fix this problem?
He said yesterday that there's bipartisan support for government funding to address the shortage, and his commitment is that he has 23 senators and 42 House members backing the proposal for $50 billion for semiconductor manufacturing and research. The issue, though, Paul W., is this will not be solved anytime soon. The construction of semiconductor plants takes years, and the sourcing, which is primarily coming out of Asia-Pacific, is tied up in a lot of Chinese goods. It's all those other things that we talked about, all of the goods and services that, you know, frankly, during a shopping spree, most people, especially in a work-from-home environment now, really want. So the demand is real, and there isn't really a lot of light at the end of the tunnel. But what has been considered is that possibly the White House would make automotive its own separate entity so that in order to get the industry back up and running, that there would be full funding that would go to automotive companies. But then there are technology companies and there are wireless companies that want their own as well. So this won't be solved anytime soon.
Are there going to be, for example, tax incentives for U.S. manufacturers to start making these critical parts in America and maybe avoid some of these shortages based on the international dependency that we have? I know it's kind of like our energy situation where we got energy independent. Now we've thrown that away. But how about becoming manufacturing independent in terms of these chips, critical parts?
Yeah, that's exactly the thought. And there are others who are proposing that the auto industry could alleviate some of these supply problems by changing some of its purchasing methods. So companies could effectively decouple chip sourcing from other components. They could commit to earlier purchase orders, build up a buffer of inventory, even commit to continuing to order chips through auto sales downturns. But yes, build those factories in America, provide some incentives, and make sure that sourcing is local.
Are they building the cars, SUVs and trucks, or is there a limit to how much they can do? Are they building them and parking them until the chips are available,
yes,
or is that what they're doing?
No, that's exactly right, Paul W. They are building them, and they are leaving them in parking lots until these semiconductors can become available. They're also building the models and trims that are the most popular. So trying to, you know, source this out in a way that makes sure that inventory is at the right level. But it's a scary situation. And we just looked at General Motors as an example. General Motors North American production was hammered harder than that of its rivals just last week by this chip shortage. And there are some forecasts that show that there were 73,000 of 113,000 vehicles taken out of production schedules just at GM. Ford's also grappling with it as well. Some other automakers who maybe got the jump on this, Hyundai, Kia, not suffering as much.
Hey, a quick other note that you guys broke in the first place, but an end of an era in our area, and that is Ambassador David Fisher and his son, the Suburban Collection, has now closed on the sale to the national dealership chain. Is it Lithia? Is that what the chain
Lithia.
Was?
Lithium. Yeah, they're now the major. Yeah, they're now the owner of the Suburban Collection and 34 of its dealerships. A blockbuster deal for Fisher and family, $2.4 billion in annual revenue. And it's really one of the largest ever acquisitions for Lithia as the dealer world gets, frankly, goes through a consolidation. And, the big get bigger, and you're going to see more of this. But the Suburban, collection in our area has been such a bedrock and good for them.
Well, they've been a bedrock and a contributor to our society by sponsoring lots and lots of important events, not the least of my golf tournament coming up in August. They have always been a part of that. I mean, seriously, yep. That's just one out of hundreds, if not thousands, of charitable events that they've contributed to. We don't know if the new owners will do the same thing. We don't know if they'll have the feeling and connection to the Detroit area, the region, the state of Michigan.
Very true.
We hope they will. They obviously have a lot of money, or they couldn't buy this thing. So that means hopefully they're smart enough to keep that up. Anyway,
I'll get you connected to Brian DeBoer, Paul W.
Thank you. Thank you, Jason. We'll hear again from you Friday, if not before. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Paul W.
Jason Stein, Automotive News publisher and Crane Communications vice president, getting to the bottom of those chips, those semiconductor chips, as we continue on the Paul W. Smith Show at WJR.